As I walked to work this morning through a cold, empty city, I passed the dormant edifice of St. Matthew's College, my old alma mater, and my thoughts turned, as they often do this time of year, to Brother Martin de Potter. St. Matthew's College was run by the Brothers of the Grey Briquette, teaching descendants of a brazier order established by the Avignon Popes. The congregation had carried over these fiery origins into its approach to schooling. Our tender young minds and bodies were marinated in dogma and grilled above the brimstone of hell's pit for 11 years until done, then served up to the world. Brother Martin came to the college in late November 1960, replacing the regular science teacher who had been lost in a sodium incident. Brother Martin was a young man with dark eyes, a beaked nose, and no sense of hair. He arrived from somewhere in Europe with a train of large trunks and established himself in a cell in the northeast tower of the cloisters. I was faring poorly in school at the time, not dealing well with the total Latin immersion program, suddenly a friendless geek on the verge of a bewildering pubescence. I had no interests, at least not ones that could be mentioned out loud. My brother Frank wouldn't let me hang around him and his friends anymore, and that Christmas break was a miserable one for me, passed in lonely tobogganing on the hill that sloped steeply away from the north face of St. Matthew's battlements. On the frigid gray morning of New Year's Day, as I was positioning myself for another descent, a voice beckoned me from the tower above. "You there! Come up to the tower!" I ascended the stairs of the empty building, most of the brothers having gone off to prepare the traditional New Year's kebab at the archdiocese office. Brother Martin was in his cell, the floors strewn with books and scientific instruments, and he was in the middle of what I recognized to be an experiment.
"Ah, good. What is your name, boy?"
"Paul Mothbrother, grade 6 teal."
"Stand by the window, Paul, and hold this mirror for me, so that it reflects the light back here."
"Good. Now move slowly in an ovoid pattern." I did as I was told, shuffling my little feet. He followed my motions with a wooden disc that had a revolving sheet of metal with a map of the heavens carved into it. Every so often he would grunt and scribble something down in a notebook. I mustered the courage to ask a question that had been nagging me for some time. "Brother, why is this the beginning of the year?"
"What do you mean?"
"It's such an awful freezing time to be starting something. People celebrate like crazy beforehand, and then when the new year arrives, nothing. How can that be the beginning?"
"Mirror up," he said.
And then, as we continued our double oval dance about his room, he answered my query.
"Of course, my boy, it's quite arbitrary when we start our year. The Jews have different years that start at different times, a civil year that starts sometime in September, and an ecclesiastical one that starts March 21st. We Christians celebrated the new year on March 25th for a long time, while Egyptians..."
And he went on to cover everything from the ancient Mayans to the Julian calendar. Now, this was my first taste of cultural relativism, and from the mouth of a brother, well, it carried a lot of authority. For the first time, I thought I could see something new and interesting. And though I contributed no knowledge to the discussion and can remember almost nothing of it, I do remember that I felt like I'd actually been a part of it. "Still," he said finally, "January's not a bad time for a new year, the month of Janus, two-faced god of doorways, a threshold month. Will we go backwards or forwards?" He sneezed, put down the astrolab, and took the mirror from my hand.
"Thanks for the help, my boy. Moth, eh? 6 teal. Okay, that's all."
I dragged my toboggan home, and the thoughts stayed in my mind for the rest of the holidays. I never did get to take Brother Martin's science class. He was drummed out of the college a few weeks later, having contradicted St. Matthew's holy doctrine by endorsing the Copernican proposition that the earth circled the sun. I heard that he joined up with Thomas Merton for a while, caused a few heart attacks during Vatican II, and then, while studying the astronomy of the Andean peoples with a friend of his, Father Camilo Torres, disappeared without a trace.